In this session, we will take a look at the end-of-year return forms that have to be filed by the employer to the revenue. It is the employer's responsibility to provide certain details to the tax office at the end of the year, and there are a variety of specific forms to enable the employer to do so. We will start with the Form P60. The Form P60 contains details of taxable earnings paid by an employer to an employee in the year, along with details of any tax and national insurance deducted from those earnings. The P60 will also contain basic details such as the employer's name and address and the employee's national insurance number. The P60 is given by the employer to the employee no later than the 31st of May following the end of the tax year. The employee will then use the details on the P60 to prepare his own self-assessment tax return. The employer will also complete a Form P14 for each employee. The details on the P14 are the same as those on the P60. The difference here is that the P14 is given by the employer to the revenue. All the forms P14 are effectively rolled together to form an end-of-year summary, which is called the Form P35. The P35 summarises all the individual deduction sheets for each and every employee. Forms P14 and P35 must be submitted by the employer to the revenue no later than the 19th of May following the end of the tax year. So essentially, the employer has 44 days from the end of the tax year to put together forms P14 and P35. Finally, on to forms P11D and forms P9D. A form P11D is provided to every higher paid employee who receives benefits in the tax year. If you remember, a higher paid employee is any employee who earns £8,500 or more per annum. If benefits are provided to lower paid employees, these are summarised on Form P9D. Each of these forms contain details of the cash equivalent of each benefit provided. The deadline for the submission of Forms P11D and Forms P9D is the 6th of July following the end of the tax year. So the employer has, effectively, 3 months to put together the Forms P11D. As a matter of procedure, the employer will normally give a copy of the P11D to the employee to enable the employee to put together his self-assessment return. There are a couple of other returns of which you should be aware. The first is the Form P45. A Form P45 is given by the employer to every employee who leaves that particular employment. P45s are also provided in respect of employees whose employment terminates as a result of death. The Form P45 has 4 parts. The employer will send the first part of the form to the revenue and give the other 3 parts of the form to the employee. The employee will keep 1 part of the P45 for his own record purposes and give the other 2 parts of the form to his new employer. The new employer fills in details of the new employment, then keeps 1 part of the P45 for his own record purposes. The employer sends the final part to the revenue. The P45 contains details of pay and tax from the start of the tax year, i.e. 6th of April, to the date the employment terminated. The P45 will also contain details of the code number operated by the previous employer. This code number will then be operated by the new employer until a new one is issued by the revenue. In certain circumstances, an employee will be asked to fill in a form P46. A P46 is completed by employees who join an employer but do not have a Form P45. This will be the case if this is the employee's first job since leaving education, or if the employee has another job and, as such, does not have a Form P45. The Form P46 will ask the employee to certify one of 3 things. If the employee certifies that this is his first job since the 6th of April, and he has not been receiving job seeker's allowance, incapacity benefit, or a pension, the employer will be able to deduct tax on a cumulative basis. This means the employee will get the benefit of the personal allowance from the beginning of the tax year. If the employee certifies that this is now his only job, but he has had another job in the tax year or received job seeker's allowance or incapacity benefit, the employer will apply an emergency code, which operates on a non-cumulative basis. This means that the employee will simply be given a proportion of the normal personal allowance as his tax-free amount. In other words, he will be given 1 month's worth of personal allowance against 1 month's worth of pay. If the employee certifies on Form P46 that he has another job or receives a pension, the employer will operate code BR. This means that tax will be deducted from earnings at the basic rate of 20% without any personal allowances being given. We know that tax and national insurance should be paid over to the collector of taxes no later than the 19th of each month. You will not be surprised to know that if an employer makes these payments late, the revenue will charge the employer interest on the late paid tax. If tax has been overpaid by the employer and a repayment of tax is due, then repayment interest will run for the same period. Remember that it is the employer's obligation to operate pay as you earn correctly, and if he fails to do so, the revenue has the right to charge a penalty. Penalties may be charged when the employer pays PAYE late, sends in his end-of-year returns late, or if end-of-year returns are incorrect. Penalties will be levied where a person is late making payments of PAYE and Class 1 NIC in the tax year. The amount of the penalty will depend on the amount of defaults in the tax year. A default occurs when the tax deducted is paid late to HMRC, although the first failure does not count as a default. If the taxpayer makes 1, 2, or 3 defaults in the tax year, the penalty will be 1% of the amount of the defaults. Where the taxpayer makes 4, 5, or 6 defaults in the tax year, the penalty will be 2% of the amount of the defaults. If the taxpayer makes 7, 8, or 9 defaults in the tax year, the penalty will be 3% of the amount of the defaults. Finally, if the taxpayer makes 10 or more defaults in the tax year, the penalty will be 4% of the amount of the defaults. In addition, if any amount of tax or NIC due is more than 6 months late, a further penalty of 5% of the amount outstanding will be levied. If the tax or NIC is still outstanding after 12 months from the due date, an additional 5% penalty will be charged. These penalties will apply to the first late payment of tax, even though the first late payment does not count as a default. Late payment penalties will not be charged during an agreed time to pay arrangement, unless the taxpayer defaults or misuses the arrangement. Late payment penalties must be paid within 30 days of the date the notice assessing the penalty is issued, or interest will be charged. There will be a right of appeal against the penalties on the grounds of reasonable excuse. Now, let us consider late returns, looking first at Forms P35 and P14. The new regime in respect of penalties for late returns, which we looked at in the session on self-assessment, also applies to the annual PAYE returns, apart from Forms P11D and P9D. A £100 penalty will be levied immediately after the due date for filing, whether or not the tax has been paid. Daily penalties of £10 per day may apply where returns are more than 3 months late, running for a maximum of 90 days. Penalties of 5% of the liability to tax for the return period, or £300 if greater, will apply where a return is over 6 months late. The same penalty will also apply if a return is more than 12 months late. However, higher penalties of up to 70% of the liability to tax, or £300 if greater, will apply where a person fails to submit a return for over 12 months and has deliberately withheld information necessary for HMRC to assess the tax due. The amount of the penalty increases to 100% of the liability to tax, or £300 if greater, if withholding the information is deliberate and concealed. Penalties that apply where a person has deliberately withheld information can be reduced for both prompted and unprompted disclosure of the information. Disclosure takes place where a taxpayer tells HMRC about the relevant information, gives HMRC reasonable help in quantifying the tax unpaid as a result of the information being withheld, and allows HMRC access to records to check the amount of unpaid tax. Disclosure is unprompted if it is made when there is no reason to believe that HMRC have discovered or are about to discover the information. The actual reduction in the penalty depends on the quality of the disclosure, including timing, nature, and extent. The table on your screen details the maximum and minimum penalties that could apply. The minimum penalty is £300 if greater. HMRC have the power to reduce the penalty if there are special circumstances. The maximum aggregate penalty, calculated as a percentage of the liability to tax, that can be charged in respect of the late filing of a return is 100% of the liability to tax. The late filing penalty is not reduced by a penalty for a late payment of tax. In other words, if a return is filed late and the tax liability is paid late, the taxpayer will incur both late filing and late payment penalties. Late payment penalties must be paid within 30 days of the date the notice of assessing the penalty is issued, or interest will be charged. The taxpayer will have the right to appeal against a penalty on the grounds of reasonable excuse. Moving on to incorrect returns. Penalties will be charged in respect of a form containing an inaccuracy if the error occurred due to lack of reasonable care. In addition, penalties will be charged if the error is deliberate, i.e., the employer knowingly and intentionally submits an incorrect document but does not take steps to hide the error. Finally, a penalty will be levied if the error is deliberate and concealed, i.e., an incorrect document was sent knowingly and intentionally to HMRC and active steps were taken to hide the error. A penalty will not be charged if reasonable care was taken. The penalty charged will be a percentage of the potential lost revenue, i.e. the extra tax and NIC due. The table now appearing on your screen details the maximum and minimum penalties that can be charged, depending on the behaviour giving rise to the error. Where an error occurred due to lack of reasonable care, the penalty will be between 0 to 30% of the extra tax due. A deliberate error will result in a penalty of between 20 and 70% of the extra tax due. Finally, an error which is deliberate and concealed will result in a penalty of between 30 and 100% of the extra tax due. As you can see, reductions are available for both unprompted and prompted disclosure. Disclosure is unprompted if the employer has no reason to believe HMRC have discovered or are about to discover the error. Disclosure takes place where an employer tells HMRC about the error, gives HMRC reasonable help in calculating the resulting tax and NIC unpaid, and allows HMRC access to records to check the amount of unpaid tax. If a penalty is charged because an employer failed to take reasonable care, the penalty may be suspended by HMRC for up to 2 years. If the conditions set by HMRC are met by the taxpayer at the end of the suspension period, the penalty will be cancelled. Inaccuracies in forms P11D and P9D are not dealt with by these rules. If an incorrect P11D or P9D is filed fraudulently or negligently, a penalty of up to £3,000 can be levied in respect of each form. Finally, in this session, a few words about recovery of tax. Where an employer fails to operate pay-as-you-earn correctly, and this results in an underpayment of tax, the inspector can either recover the tax from the employer, or choose to recover the tax from the employee.
In the majority of instances, the revenue will choose to recover the tax from the employer by using what we call a Regulation 80 determination. This means that having quantified the tax underpaid, the revenue will issue a notice under Regulation 80 of the PAYE regulations. The employer does have a right to appeal this determination if he thinks it is incorrect. But if no appeal is lodged, the determination becomes final and conclusive within 30 days. If the revenue is satisfied that the employer took reasonable care to comply with the PAYE regulations, and any underpayment of tax arose due to an error made in good faith, the revenue will instead seek recovery of the tax from the employee. The revenue will also seek collection of the tax from the employee if they have reason to believe that the employee accepted his earnings in the full knowledge that the employer had under-deducted tax.
All employers are required to file their end-of-year returns, forms P14 and P35, electronically. This can be done either directly by the employer or via an intermediary, such as a payroll bureau or agent. A penalty will be levied if a paper return is filed instead of an electronic return. This will be up to £3,000 per annum per PAYE scheme, depending on the number of P14s included in the return. This penalty is in addition to the usual array of penalties for late filing. From the 6th of April 2009, employers with 50 or more employees have been required to send HMRC forms P45, parts 1 and 3, and P46 electronically. All employers will have to do this from the 6th of April 2011. If an employer fails to do so, a penalty of between £100 and £3,000 will be charged, depending on the number of forms that should have been filed online. Forms P11D and P9D can be submitted electronically if the employer wishes.
If you recall, these should be submitted no later than the 6th of July following the end of the tax year. If these forms are late, the inspector can charge an initial penalty of up to £300 per late form, and can thereafter charge a further penalty of up to £60 per day for each day that the failure continues. These penalties can be mitigated at the discretion of the inspector. As is customary, let us finish this module with a couple of practice questions.
Octagon Limited has failed to take reasonable care in producing the P35, as it does not have adequate procedures in place in relation to PAYE. However, it does not appear to have deliberately submitted an incorrect P35. The maximum penalty will be 30% of the potential lost revenue, i.e. 30% of £5,000 being £1,500. However, if there is an unprompted disclosure to HMRC, this can be reduced to nil. If there is a prompted disclosure, the minimum penalty will be 15% of £5,000, being £750. The amount of the reduction will depend on the quality of the disclosure. Shape Limited made 7 late payments in respect of 2010-11. There are 6 defaults in total. The first late payment is not a default. The penalty percentage is therefore 2%. The penalty is charged in respect of the 6 defaults, giving a penalty of £1,800. In addition, £15,000 was outstanding for more than 6 months, as it was due on the 19th of April. Therefore, an additional 5% penalty will be charged, giving a total penalty of £2,550. This concludes our lecture on PAYE end-of-year returns, interest and penalties.